Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Sarah Morris, who's a senior policy counsel for the Open Technology Institute at the New America Foundation, where she assists in the research and development of policy proposals related to open technologies, broadband access, and emerging technology issues. Previously, she served as a Google Policy Fellow with the Media Access Project, where her research covered media ownership and the open internet. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sarah Morris.
Thank you, Ian. I'm happy to be here.
And at this point, Chairman of the FCC, Tom Wheel, of course, was absolutely got a blizzard of public input, shall we say, from the last leaks that came in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, which he actually said were dead wrong, but never really refuted the proposals to have a sort of fast track and a slow track on the internet, or fast lanes for content companies that are willing to pay internet service providers for the privilege of getting their product prioritized, or their content prioritized. Now, apparently, these new rules are being circulated today ahead of a vote on Thursday on the proposals. What's your understanding of what Wheeler is now promising?
Well, and keep in mind that these are just proposed rules, so they'll be released on Thursday for public comment if they're voted out of the commission by a majority of the commissioners. So there's still a long road ahead of us. But where we've come and gone in the past few days, I think, is certainly a more consideration of two sort of major legal paths that the commission could take. The one that the chairman has been sort of focused on for the past few weeks has been this what we call a title or 706 approach, Section 706 of the Communications Act, which is the same authority that the Commission relied on in its most recent open internet rules from 2010 that were thrown out last January by the D.C. Circuit. So what we're seeing in the new draft is still a focus on that legal authority, which to advocates for strong net neutrality protections, that's what we believe to be the wrong source of authority going forward. And so what we're hoping to see in the new NPRM is more focus on an alternative legal path so that we can implement much stronger rules going forward.
Now, that alternative path has been suggested in other court cases, including the Verizon court case before the Second Circuit, wasn't it?
It wasn't the primary basis on which the FCC relied for authority. Section 706 was the basis of authority there. But the issue of what we call reclassification, which is to treat broadband service as a common carriage service, that has been debated for nearly a decade, or over a decade.
And the reason we don't have that is because of a decision made earlier by the former chair, Michael Powell.
Correct.
So, in other words, what advocates of preserving net neutrality are saying is that you've got to go back to pre-Michael Powell and treat the internet as a public utility.
That's correct, and that's essentially what the D.C. Circuit court case said in its opinion in January, was that you've done all the right rules. These rules are good. They address a problem that you've articulated. The only problem is that in order to impose them on what they call non-common carriers, that would be an impermissible application of your authority. You can only apply those rules to service providers that are in the common carriage bucket, so to speak.
So then, is Tom Wheeler trying to thread the needle here between what most people want, at least those in terms of the activists who have been lobbying pretty hard since the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times came out with these leaks about a two-tiered internet, which alarms a lot of people? So is he trying to thread the needle in an impossible way?
That's what we believe. I mean, and it's not just activists. We've had letters from over 100 companies, venture capitalists, and the like go into the FCC in the past week, all calling for rules that don't allow for paid prioritization, the types of deals that you described. At the Open Technology Institute, where I work, we, along with many other advocates, strongly believe that the only way to achieve net neutrality protections that protect against paid prioritization is through a Title II approach. Trying to work them in under a 706 approach won't result in the types of rules that we want to see.
And it does seem that Senator Al Franken is the strongest proponent, at least on Capitol Hill, of taking this new approach of basically reclassifying it as a utility?
Senator Franken has been a fantastic supporter. He was joined with, I think, 9 or 10 other senators this week in a letter to the FCC, including Elizabeth Warren and others. So there's definitely a growing base of support for a different approach than what the commission seems to be taking.
So where are the votes then? Can you divine that, Sarah, in terms of you've got, what, 3 Democrats, including the chair, and you've got 2 Republicans, right?
Right. And, you know, it's hard to predict where all of the different votes will fall. I would reiterate that this is a pretty, like, introductory vote. So this isn't the final vote on the rules. This is just sort of voting to open the rules up for public comment. And then several months down the road would be the final vote on the rules after all of the public and advocacy groups have had a chance to weigh in. So, you know, it's not as though the vote would have to be voting certain rules into effect, but rather just opening the door for the rules to be then open for public comment.
Again, I'm speaking with Sarah Morris, who's a senior policy counsel for the Open Technology Institute at the New America Foundation, where she assists in the research and development of policy proposals related to open technologies, broadband access, and emerging technology issues. Previously, she served as a Google Policy Fellow with the Media Access Project, where her research covered media ownership and the open internet. So do we know then that the really biting the bullet here, which is to reclassify the internet as a utility, is that on the agenda?
We're hearing reports that it is included in the rulemaking proposal. How much attention it receives in the rulemaking proposal is an open question. And even then, we still have, I think, a lot of work to be done to move the commission on a path towards reclassification.
And what's your sense then of the notion that the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, has sort of bent with the blizzard of input from you and other activists and those on the gathering storm on Capitol Hill, if you will, led by Senator Al Franken?
Well, I think he's clearly recognizing that blizzard and responding to it and taking all of that into account. And I think that we're continuing to move forward a strong momentum towards the right path. It's just we're not quite there yet. And I think that this, as this proceeding unfolds, there will be a lot more need for public comment, for continued advocacy efforts, for continued grassroots efforts and activism throughout the summer and beyond.
But on the other side, the status quo is what the powerful telecom and cable lobby are pushing, right? Going back to Michael Powell setting this course for them, which will allow the gradual erosion of net neutrality. And that would seem to be, I mean, Michael Powell, of course, is now the head of the lobbying arm of the telecom and cable oligopolies, is he not?
That's true.
And Wheeler was the previous head, right? The same
order. Yes, that is also true.
So you essentially have a situation now where the Comcasts and the Time Warners, et cetera, the Verizons, they're at least happy with the status quo, albeit they want more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the chairman, Chairman Wheeler, does really want to do the right thing here. And while we may disagree on the specifics, I think he's being receptive and responsive. But you're right, there is a tremendous amount of political pressure from the other side, from the carriers and others who would prefer for the protections to sort of just go away. And so it will be an uphill battle for sure, but one that I think that many different groups and organizations and companies are aligned on.
Well, how much, though, do you think the argument has been made that if we hand over the internet to the big oligopolies like Time Warner and Comcast, who may well merge as one, that you'll end up with an internet that's as bad as what you have in terms of cable television?
I think that the cableization of the internet is a very real concern, and you know, it probably would not happen overnight, but we have definitely seen the willingness and indeed attempts by different internet service providers to control how we access content online. And so the need for net neutrality protections has not gone away. It's very much still a very real threat and something that we were very concerned about.
And in terms of the alternative, at least some people have put forth this idea that you can do an end run around the FCC and the cable and telecom oligopolies via municipal broadband. And there was a report recently that Chairman Wheeler, in fact, I think in a speech that he made before this very cable lobby, said that he would work vigorously to undo lawsuits that these Verizons and Comcast have preemptively sued a number of municipalities and states to prevent them from having their own municipal broadband services.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that municipal broadband networks have a huge role to play in both, in not just providing access that's free of discrimination or blocking online, but also to provide service to communities where, for rate of return reasons or whatever, the traditional carrier model has not served in an adequate way. And so there's, you know, in the great ecosystem of broadband delivery and internet infrastructure, there's a tremendous value in having municipalities available as an option for communities.
And that's another way of saying that the U.S. is slipping behind, right?
Oh, that's correct. We released a report earlier this year that said demonstrated that when compared with our global peers, cities in the U.S. have higher prices and lower service quality than those other cities around the world.
And conversely, cities like Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Santa Monica, California, that have put in the fiber optics and made this service available, it's been a huge boon for business.
That's right. There have been cities with municipal broadband networks that proved to be like bright spots in that otherwise gloomy picture that I just described.
So would you then suggest that these two paths are not mutually exclusive? In other words, people should both lobby hard to preserve net neutrality and at the same time lobby hard for municipal broadband?
That's right. I mean, even with a radical expansion of municipal broadband networks across the country, many people still rely, in fact, the vast majority of people still rely on broadband service from a private carrier. And the need for net neutrality protections sort of transcends competition concerns, although we think that the competition concerns are also tremendously important. But these are the types of protections that are needed even in an area, even for places where there are multiple broadband options.
And previously you served as a Google policy fellow with the Media Access Project. My understanding is that Google has laid fiber optics in a couple of cities around the United States. Do you know how much further they want to take that?
Well, I will say that my Google policy fellowships was just a program that Google sort of sponsors for policy advocates in the public interest and space. And so I didn't actually work for Google or anything like that. But yes, I think Google has been pretty clear in its desire to expand the Google Fiber platform and to do those deployments in more cities across the country. And we'll start to see that unfold in the coming months, I think.
Do you know what their strategy is?
My understanding is that they're doing sort of city or metropolitan area-wide analysis and community research in a variety of cities across the country. And once they've conducted that research and worked with communities to determine, you know, what their needs are, then they'll move to, hopefully, from their perspective, to actually deploying Google Fiber in those cities.
Well, I don't know whether you know this, Sarah, but there is today is the annual shareholders meeting of Google, and there are a number of protesters outside and inside the shareholders meeting complaining about Google not being transparent about its lobbying money and its membership in the American Chamber of Commerce and ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. So Google's getting some heat.
It appears so.
So anyway, back to the purpose of this conversation, just to wrap it up. What's your sense then, Sarah? We will, of course, know on Thursday. how the FCC votes on these new rules, and they will be available for public comment. And that's, I guess, when people will start really weighing in. Do you think that it is possible to thread the needle, as the chairman appears to be, or do you think there'll be sufficient critical mass here to force him to realize that the only really way to protect net neutrality is to reclassify the internet as a utility?
I think that there is tremendous momentum for the latter, towards reclassification, and I think that it will be necessary to continue that momentum, not just through this Thursday, but through the coming months. And so there is still work to be done, but the chairman does seem to be listening to the concerns that have been expressed by these wide-ranging constituencies, and we'll just have to see where that ends up.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Sarah Morris.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Sarah Morris, who's a senior policy counsel for the Open Technology Institute at the New America Foundation, where she assists in the research and development of policy proposals related to open technologies, broadband access, and emerging technological issues. Previously, she served as a Google Policy Fellow with the Media Access Project, where her research covered media ownership and the open internet. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back looking into demonstrations taking place today at Google's annual shareholders meeting.